This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
7:15, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Billy Joel here bringing us back from break, echoing what Nicolas Maduro had to say yesterday in court, that he is an innocent man. David Law joins us, E. James Kelly Jr., class of 1965, research professor of law and courtesy professor of politics at the University of Virginia. Good morning, professor. How are you?
Happy 2026. I'm good. I love Billy Joel, too.
Yeah, good. Happy 2026 to you. So, you know, if you go to Louisiana Revised Statutes or whatever, the criminal code book, it says you can't, and I'm paraphrasing here, you can't break into somebody's house and take their property. If you do, you get arrested, you get indicted, you get charged with criminal trespass, burglary, whatever the statute says. That becomes a lot more complicated when you're talking about plucking a sitting president from a country and a 25-page indictment and proving that criminal case in court, right?
Yeah, but you would be amazed by how little the courts have actually said about this when it comes to the president's power to do something like this. You know, part of the problem here is the way executive power expands over time and is expanded so much since the time of the framers is the executive branch builds on what it's done in the past. So there's this two-step process, right? First, the executive branch asks itself, gee, am I allowed to do this? And then it turns, how does it ask that question? It turns to its own lawyers in the Department of Justice. And so the executive branch lawyers tend to give this answer that favors the executive branch. The answer is, gosh, thanks for asking a whole lot. So, for example, the infamous torture memo, right? That came out of the Department of Justice. And
refresh our memory, please. The infamous torture memo.
Yeah, the torture memo was, there were lawyers in the Department of Justice who said that it was okay to use practices like waterboarding against so-called enemy combatants who were being held in Guantanamo Bay during the war on terror in the Bush 2 years. So that memo came from the executive branch's own lawyers in the Department of Justice. So first you get a memo like this from your own lawyers that says, yeah, it's okay for you to do this. And then what happens is you would think Congress might say something, right? Like, we can't believe you sent the Delta Force in plus the Airborne Rangers into Venezuela to grab some guy. Don't you need this to declare war? But it's so rare for Congress to push back hard enough, long enough to get a court ruling on this. Like, look at the current situation, for example, where the Republicans control Congress and the White House, right? So the congressional Republicans are going along with pretty much everything the current administration wants to do. Now, sometimes maybe initially Congress sues, but, you know, here's the problem. Lawsuits take time. They take a lot of time, and elections occur every 2 years. So then the White House changes hands, or Congress changes hands, or both, and the lawsuit gets dropped or settled. So you never get a court ruling. Then the next opinion from the Department of Justice lawyers builds on the previous opinion, right? So this is a pretty good example of that, where you remember 1989, we went into Panama and removed General Manuel Noriega. And the question was, well, did we have the legal authority to do that? That was the president's question. The president turns to his own lawyers, and he had a lawyer in the Office of Legal Counsel, a guy, you may recognize his name, Bill Barr, right? Mm-hmm. So in the first Bush administration, Bush 1, this guy was assistant attorney general working in, you guessed it, the Office of Legal Counsel in the Department of Justice. And he writes this memo that says, yeah, actually, the president can do this. And he says, sure, this is, you know, and let's say it's against international law. Let's say it's against the UN Charter. All that, in theory, applies to the U.S. But then he lays out this two-part argument, right? He says, first, the president has inherent constitutional power to enforce the laws under the Take Care Clause. And that includes the power to enforce criminal laws. And that includes the power to enforce criminal laws, notwithstanding what international law might say, right? So that's the first part of what he says. Then he says the second part is the president also has this inherent protective power to protect federal officials carrying out their jobs. So, for example, the president can use the army to protect federal officials, like an FBI agent doing his or her job. So that means you could send in Delta Force plus the Ranger Division plus an entire Air Force bomber wing to protect an FBI agent serving an arrest warrant against, say, the leader of Panama or, say, the president of Venezuela. So you're left with, so then the executive branch keeps giving itself legal opinions that build on each other, and then Congress never pushes back. So the only people you're left with questioning the legality of this tends to be law professors looking at what the courts have said in the past, what the laws say, and trying to predict what a court would say or should say. And, you know, law professors like me might say, gee, it's hard to believe that the framers had this in mind. It's hard to believe the Constitution permits this. It's hard to believe a court would sign off on this. But this court, this Supreme Court, is extremely friendly to claims of presidential power. So even that might not be true. It's quite possible the Supreme Court would sign off on this. So that's how we got in the situation. Unbelievably, there's no clear court answer as to whether the president can do this.
Well, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. So many questions, never enough time. David Law is our guest, a professor of law at Virginia. 7:21 now, traffic WWL. 7:26, Tommy Tucker, WWL, David Law, our guest, professor of law at Virginia, at the University of Virginia. And we're talking about the Nicolas Maduro thing. And as I said yesterday, what's legal is not always right. What's right is not always legal. And you can't just do stuff. Or then again, maybe you can just do stuff if you're the president. So geopolitical implications aside, is there any legal difference here between the United States deciding to go in and relieve Peng of his duties in China, or the leader of North Korea, or Putin, or pick a country that violates human rights or that deals in drug trafficking? Is there a difference really between what the United States did with Maduro or those other scenarios legally?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That's the problem right there. It's a slippery slope. There isn't necessarily a difference. There really isn't. So let's say the president of France, the prime minister of Canada, goes fishing, right, with some buddies in the U.S. and happens to fish in federal waters without a license. Well, you could, in theory, send an FBI agent in backed by the U.S. Army to bring him here for trial. In theory, you could.
But even beyond that, Maduro didn't come here to fish, right? I mean, he was there in his country, and he's accused of a 25-page indictment. So I guess let's talk about that, David. What exactly is he charged with? For example, I saw a weapons charge, and I'm just wondering, with the possession of a machine gun, if he's in his own country, and I'm not defending Nicolas Maduro. I'm talking about the legal part of this. Why would that be against U.S. law?
Yeah, so I'm not a criminal law guy, but there's, I think, four sets of charges. Conspiracy to commit narco trafficking, I think, is one of them. Mm-hmm. Then there's the weapons charges you mentioned. One thing that is pretty well established is just because some other government says that something is lawful doesn't mean that we have to permit it under U.S. law. So that's part of it. The other part of it is, can we regulate the behavior of people in other countries? And the U.S. position is tended to be yes. This gets a little tricky. For me, this is a bit sensitive because I lived in Hong Kong and worked there for years. And, you know, I said a number of things that probably in the eyes of the Chinese government are sedition. And the Chinese government has tried to enforce those laws against critics of the Chinese government in other countries. And so, you know, that does cut both ways. And we're going to try to prosecute people extraterritorially, as they say, for things that they've done against U.S. law in other countries. We shouldn't be shocked when other countries like China try to enforce their laws extraterritorially against people in the United States. So it does cut both ways. That's a problem.
So for people that are big supporters of President Trump, is this different than another country? And look, I understand with the defenses of the United States, it's not likely to happen, but is it different legally than another country saying, you know what, you decided to drop a drone or used a drone to destroy this guy, whatever, We're looking at that as an international war crime, so we're going to sweep in and take you out and bring you back to our country for trial. Legally speaking, is there any difference or not?
So, you know, at the end of the day, to really have the answer, you need a court to answer that question. And again, part of the problem is when the president builds on, you know, well, here's what I did last time. Here's what I did the time before that. And Congress doesn't push back and no one sues and no one will sue and see it all the way through to judicial decision. You never get a court actually weighing in. So, you know, do I think this is legally questionable? I do, but there's no court that actually has said that the president can't do this in very clear terms. We haven't had anything like a court ruling on this.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it. David Law, E. James Kelly Jr., Class of 65, Research Professor of Law and Courtesy Professor in Politics, University of Virginia. We'll talk about the political part of this when we come back. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.